Okay, I want to thank everyone very much for coming, and a very special thank you to Seth and to Brian and to Akiva for hosting, even without Seth being here, for putting together all the food, sponsoring all the food, and the email. Tiskul mitzvos. We're really very, very grateful. Thank you. No, it's my schus, my little schus to do a little bit. So I thought that maybe we should do something a little bit different tonight. The Rama says that on Hanukkah, the Gemara says Hanukkah is a time when, as we all know, the Greeks had conquered the land of Israel. They had defiled the temple, they took apart the altar, and they made service in the temple illegal. It was impossible to do anything in the holy temple. So there was a revolt. According to Josephus, what precipitated the revolt was that the Greeks controlled Jerusalem. But out of Jerusalem, they were less onerous. You know, they sort of let people do whatever they wanted. So there was a town north of Jerusalem, the town of Modi'in, where they basically let people do whatever they want. And then one time they came and they put up an altar and they put up a statue in Modi'in for Zeus. And they said that the Jews in Modi'in, especially the priests in Modi'in, had to come and participate in an offering to Zeus. So there was a Jewish heretic who joyfully said, "Oh, I'll do it. I'll go offer this pig to Zeus. I'm going to show that I've rejected Judaism." And that was so upsetting to Matityahu, the son of the high priest who lived there, that he killed this heretic and he started a revolt. It started initially with just six people, Matityahu and his five sons. So six people took on the whole Greek Empire. And this revolt spread. They obviously could only fight in guerrilla tactics initially. They had to run away to hide in the mountains near Beit El. Then some other people joined them. And over 3 years, they fought and they fought. They had six major battles until eventually, even though some of them were killed, Matityahu died, his son died, they were able to make it back to Jerusalem. They were able to liberate the temple. And what they found there was heartbreaking. All of the holy oil was tame, was impure. They couldn't do the service. So they had just one jar of oil for one day. But they lit it, and miraculously it burned for 8 days. And as a result of this miracle of the oil burning for 8 days, the Shana Acheres, the next year, Kavum Lahalal Vahoda, they established it to be a holiday of saying the Hallel prayer and Hoda, of giving thanks to God, as we do in the Alanisim prayer. We thank the Almighty for the amazing, amazing gift of Hanukkah. So the Gemara never mentions that it's a time to eat a meal. The Gemara says it's a time for Hallel, for praise and Hodah, and for thanksgiving. I once heard a wonderful thought from Rav Nevensal. Rav Nevensal said that in the 20th century, there were two major enemies of the Jewish nation. There were the Nazis, the far right, and there were the communists, the far left. So the Nazis, they were like Purim. They wanted to do what Haman wanted to do. Haman wanted lahashmid, laharogu, laabed, kol hayehudim, minar v'ad zaken taf v'nashim. Haman wanted to wipe out and kill all the Jews, men, women, children, didn't matter. Wanted to wipe them all out. The Nazis, Yimach Shemam, they wanted to kill out every Jew, man, woman, or child. You could convert to Christianity, a person could have had medals from the Kaiser, it didn't matter, he was Jewish, the Nazis wanted to kill him. The communists, they were not fighting the Jewish nation, the Jewish ethnic group. They didn't want to wipe out the Jews from life. They wanted to wipe out Judaism. The communists, they were very opposed to a sitter. If someone's going to pray, if someone was going to learn Hebrew, if someone was going to, heaven forbid, keep Shabbos, keep kosher, then the communists would throw a person to the gulag and they would be very, 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 very terrible about them. So that's really like Hanukkah. Hanukkah is where the Greeks tried to change the Jews in terms of our practice from observing the Jewish faith to becoming Hellenistic. They were opposed to Jewish religious practice. It was a spiritual war. Whereas on Purim, it was a physical threat. They were trying to wipe us out, just like the Nazis were trying to wipe us out. So Rav Nevin Salcedi finds it interesting that Hanukkah, there is no obligation to eat a meal. There's an obligation of halal v'hodav, praise to God, of thanksgiving to God. Purim, there's an obligation to eat a meal. Why? Because Purim was where the enemy tried to wipe us out physically. So since they wanted to wipe us out physically, we celebrate, you didn't succeed, we're here, and we're going to feed our physical stomachs. We're going to eat physically. Hanukkah is where they were trying to wipe us out spiritually, to take away our Jewish observance, to make us Hellenistic. So we celebrate by praise, by thanksgiving, by lighting the menorah, lighting a candle. A candle is a symbol of light. Light is a symbol of spirituality. Universally, the famous verse, Kiner mitzvah, the Torah, or a candle is representative of a commandment. Torah is representative of light. So since Hanukkah was a time of a spiritual struggle, we celebrate with spiritual means. Purim was a time of physical danger. We celebrate by physical means. And in the 20th century, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, were trying to wipe us out physically. So how did God stop them? With a very strong physical struggle. There was a big war all over the world. Millions of people died. It was a terrible, terrible struggle. The communists, they were fighting us with spirit. They were fighting our spirituality. In the end, when communism fell, almost nobody died. He had this huge empire, 15 countries, billions and billions of dollars, and who knows how many soldiers, and weapons, and nuclear weapons. And yet, when the time was for them to fall, after about 70 years of their existence, some demonstrations in Romania, demonstrations in Poland, demonstrations in Moscow, and that was it. They were all gone. They all just dissipated. They dissipated without really a fight, without a physical fight, because they were, welcome, welcome, please come on in. Because, welcome, welcome, we have chairs, have something to eat. Thank you for coming. Welcome. They dissipated just by means of a spiritual, you know, collapse, because they were all about the spiritual attack against us. And so by spiritual means, they fell. So really, on Hanukkah, we don't find an obligation of having a festive meal. But please come, join us. The Rama teaches that if you have a festive meal, and in your festive meal, you sing songs to Hashem, then certainly it is a special Hanukkah meal. That makes it a elevated meal. Even though it's not obligatory to have a meal on Hanukkah, if the meal will have songs to Hashem and praise to Hashem, then it's certainly a mitzvah meal. Because apparently once we add the spiritual component of singing and thanking Hashem in the meal, so that already elevates the whole meal and makes it into a spiritual meal. So hopefully tonight, if we could try to sing a little bit, I think that could certainly add to our experience of Hanukkah. So I thought I would share different ideas about the specialness of the candles of Hanukkah. Maybe we could intersperse them with some Hanukkah songs. Maybe we could start with Ma'oz Tzur.
Ma'oz Tzur Yeshua Si Lechana Er Shabbat, Tikkun Beis Tefilasi, Nisham Toda Nizabeya, Le'ez Tachin Matbeya, Mitzar Hamnabeya, Azel Mor Bishir Mizmor, Chanukah Samizbeya, Azel Mor Bishir Mizmor, Devir kacho heavy ani Megam sham lo shakateti Uvano geis vehiklani Kizarim avadeti V'yed ra'al masachti Kimat she'avati Kitz bavel ziru bavel The kitchen in no shanti, Kate Bavel, Zeru Bavel, the kitchen in no shanti, Kirosko Maspiraj, Vikeshagagi Ben Handasa, Vinyasa Lole Fahulin Mokesh. Vigavasonishbasa Roshimine Seisa Vyodishma Machisa Rovana Vikianav Alo Eitzalisa Rovana Vikianav Alo Eitzalisa Yevani Big bitsu alai, as I be mechashmanim, who far to homos migdalai, betimu kalashmanim, who mina sarkan ganim, nasan nisla shoshanim, benay vina yemeshmana, rahu shiru renanim.
So I want to share some thoughts from my teacher, Rav Moshe Wolfson, about the Hanukkah candles. The Rambam writes, Mitzvah Sner Chanukah, the mitzvah of the Chanukah candle, Chaviva hi ad ma'od. It is extremely precious. It's very beloved. Now the Rambam doesn't say that about any other mitzvah. There are a lot of wonderful mitzvahs. Let's say, you'll say, why is Chanukah candle special? Because it reminds us of the miracle that the oil burned for 8 days. Sukkah reminds us of the miracle that when we were in the desert, God surrounded us with clouds of glory. The Rambam doesn't say about the mitzvah of Sukkah that the mitzvah of Sukkah is very precious. Why does the Rambam say the Chanukah candle, Chaviva hi ad ma'od, is very precious? What's so precious about the Chanukah candle more than any other mitzvah? So Rav Wolfson suggested the following. all other mitzvos, let's say Sukkos or the Lulav, that's to commemorate what God did for us. God took us out of Egypt and he surrounded us with clouds of glory. On Pesach, we commemorate how God killed the Egyptians and saved us. But the core of Hanukkah maybe is not so much because of what God did for us, but what we did for God. On Hanukkah, the Greeks were fighting Judaism. They said that don't practice the Jewish religion. Don't offer sacrifices in the temple. The Jews should have Greek names. The Jews should speak Greek. Instead of studying Torah, study Greek mythology, study Greek wisdom. Become Greeks. Get involved with the sports of the Olympics and the gymnasiums. And don't be loyal to the Jewish way. And what did Matityahu and his sons do? They risked their lives. They probably figured they had no chance of winning. Here they went out to fight at such terrible odds, six people against an empire. They had to hide in caves. They had to act as guerrillas. And yet they succeeded. So this is what we did for the Almighty, that we were Moser Nefesh. We showed sacrifice of our own self. When a person sacrifices, so then he feels a great pleasure, because in whatever I sacrifice for, I've invested so much in that. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've built. This is the mitzvah that's chaviva ad ma'od, that's so precious, the Rambam is saying, because when we look at these flames, we're reminded of the Jewish dedication. The Jewish dedication to risk everything, to give up everything, total and absolute commitment for God, for His Torah, for His Judaism. We went to war for His Torah and Judaism. So when we showed that we were sacrificing ourselves, we had Mesiras Nefesh, then God says, I'll do miracles for you. We find throughout the Torah, Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim Melech HaOlam, Shakuni Bidvaro.
Amen.
That any objective, any religious objective that takes great effort and great sacrifice,